This is a True Foundations podcast. Real time, real life, real answers.
See, what happens with relativism is culture supersedes and changes truth.
True Foundations is a ministry that seeks to explain and apply biblical teaching to real life in today's ever-changing world. With a view towards building a stronger church, the teachings are focused on making Scripture work for people by encouraging them to allow the words of Jesus to change them from within.
Now, today we're going to talk about self-determination. Last week, if you remember, we talked about search for significance. I know that's one of John's favorites. It is, yeah. But this one, I hope it's not anybody's favorite. Self-determination, I think, is where we all started. So nobody is exempt from this. You can't dodge this one. But we have to understand what that means and what it's all about and where it did start. Because that's the issue, isn't it? Where did it really start? The places where we start, our foundational issues are the most important things for us because they determine where we go. It determines today, it determines the future. And we all have to address that. We have to address our foundations of self-determination. And we have to think about it like this. Being good decision makers is really important. And not everybody is a decision maker. But making good decisions is really important. And in the day that we live in, self-determination almost sounds a very good and positive thing. It sounds as if you're not letting other stuff around you determine what you think and the way you are. But that's not our setting, that's not our context. You see, self-determination is a problem for us. And it's a problem because God didn't design us the way we are now. We are less than the way God designed us to be when he created in the beginning. We are far less than. I don't think we fully understand how much less than we are, how we ought to have been. So this is not an attack against freedom, because we were designed to be in the image of God, knowing truly the difference between good and evil. It's that that gives us true freedom. And true freedom gives us a whole different level of choice. God wanted us to be free people. He wanted us to be decision makers. He wanted us to make choices. I do not think we have fully grasped how wide the choice is that we can have if we are in the right place with God. So actually, freedom is a great goal. But because we are less than, and we know that that being less than is the fallen nature, it means that we cannot properly either understand, assess the situation of the world that we are in. We do our best. But we have been tainted right to the core of our being. And so, how can we make the best and wisest choices in that position? And self-determination is about making choices from that place. That is fraught with problems and disaster. So we have to address the issue of self-determination. and it doesn't automatically stop because somebody has realized that they need Christ, that they need to have their sins forgiven, that they need to walk away from the power of the past and have salvation. It does not automatically stop there. And it is self-evident if you think about it. This is where it started. There is a connection to some of the things we looked at last week, of course. Some of the passages, for example, relate to similar issues. But I'm just going to go here in the beginning to Genesis 3 and verse 10, because this is what we must understand about self-determination. If we do not grasp this, we will be lost. God had called out. He had called out to Adam and Eve. And he said, this is Adam, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So what happens now is that the nature of who Adam was, this man created without sin, fell through disobedience, fell because of his search for significance, fell into a place of being damaged goods, so he could no longer think clearly. He felt differently about himself. The nakedness that he felt was not just about not wearing clothes. He felt exposed. So what did he do? He hid. And there is the very basis of understanding what self-determination is all about. It doesn't matter how it presents itself. The basis of it is this. It is actually hiding from God. That's a dangerous thing to do, because actually you can't do it. So you're deceiving yourself. You're on the run. Do you ever watch these film or some detective series? And the criminal, he always runs away, doesn't he? Off he goes, running away. And the policeman always catches him. Why did he bother running away? It's as if somehow there is something deeply embedded in the guilty one that he needs to run and hide. Well, that's actually everybody without God. That is where we start. So self-determination is from a place of hiding. And in a place of hiding, how can you make those decisions and choices in life that lead you to freedom? It is absolutely impossible. Now here's an interesting one. It's all about Cain. We know the story of the two offerings. And Abel, he gave an offering to the Lord and it was accepted. Cain gave an offering, but it wasn't. And then there's an outworking of this story. It goes like this. Verse 10. What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed with alienation from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the land, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Now, the thing about self-determination, it is absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with your personality type. It doesn't relate to those kind of things. It's much deeper than that. The self-determined person has set a course in life which is all about what they think and what they do. It's self-serving. The self-determined person, it doesn't matter if he seems to be compliant on the surface, he's actually all about doing the wrong thing. And there's people all over the place, and they seem to be kind, they're helpful, they do anything for you. They look to be compliant. But in the end, when you've stripped it all away, they're just doing their own thing. That's where it's at. And you need to understand something about the nature of the one who has not addressed the issue of being self-determined. We're talking about Christian people now. It's hard to address that issue for people in the world at large, isn't it? We must address it for those who have followed Christ. So there they are. They're actually doing their own thing. That's where it comes down to. So most of the time they go along in life and everything seems fine. They're relating to people. They're doing this for somebody. They're helping out here. But when everything is said and done, they are saying from the inside, nobody tells me what to do. That's what they're saying. Some of the people that I have come across that will even say that. What right have you to tell me what to do? Well, maybe I have. It depends, doesn't it? It's not an all-inclusive statement. Maybe I have. Maybe somebody else has. What right have you? You see, that's what it is. The self-determined person. That's what they are all about, themselves, the things that they desire in life. And they will go for that. And in the end, it is actually at the expense of others. Even though it might not present itself like that in the first instance. And there is something about the self-determined person. We're talking about Christian people now, remember this. Cain, of course we know he wasn't a Christian, obviously not. Cain was a religious man. Of course he was a religious man. He presented an offering on his own terms. See, that's the religious man, the one who presents an offering on their own terms. Not like Abel, who gives God what he desires. You see, that's not religious. That is obedience. It is based on faith. It is based on understanding who God is. It recognizes that God is the arbiter. It recognizes all those wonderful things. Cain is the religious man here. You've got to watch for that. Because the self-determined one, who is a Christian, is the religious one. They can tick a lot of boxes. They are probably legalistic. Probably. Religious. And in that religion, they are hiding from God. That's what religion is all about. When Adam and Eve found themselves naked in the presence of God, they sewed leaves together. Where did they learn to sew from? Who told them about sewing? Don't ask me. It's just one of those silly things, isn't it? Anyway, they did. They put these leaves together and they some kind of garments. They were hiding. That is the first step in religion. There are so many religions across the world. Some of them are called Christian. But every religion without fail legalistic Christianity. The Christianity that is to do with all kinds of ritual sacramentalism. That kind of Christianity. What is it? It's hiding from God. It's just a whole bunch of fig leaves. That's what it is. That's where religion started. In the concept, at the mindset of those people who had fallen away from right relationship with God. So they pursued that path. The problem with Cain, I think he was an extreme religionist. Because what did it do? It took him down the path of violence and murder. Now, not every legalist is going to do that, but I think it's in their hearts. I really do. Because it separates them from God, and it skews their vision of the truth, and anybody that is walking in the truth. And so his self-determination took him down this very, very dangerous path. And we could argue that his life should have been forfeit. A little bit later on, of course, God showed that life should be forfeit for murder. That's never changed. And here he is. Now he is not just hiding, he is running. This is where his religion is taking him. This is where his self-determination. He had decided what the offering should be. There's self-determination. That's what the religious person does. That's what the legalist does. That is what that kind of person does with all of their complicated religious ideas. It's self-determination that walks down the path of hiding from God. But the problem is, because they cannot really hide, what happens is this: they become a restless wanderer. What a terrible, terrible place to be in. You know, there is even a mental condition where people wander. I don't know if you ever come across somebody like that. It's very sad. They just wander and wander and wander. They can never, ever settle. Well, the trouble with the self-determined person who, because of their religious nature, hiding from God, running from God, they never settle. Of course, there is a pretense all around it, but really, inside, they are a wanderer. You don't want to spend your life like that. It's totally contrary to what the gospel offers. The gospel offers us peace and contentment, even in the midst of all kinds of difficulty and things that you don't even want. You don't understand. It's happened anyway. It's life. Irrespective of that, the contentment that comes by the grace of God when we have chosen God's way and we walk in the fullness of the freedom of the gospel. Now, there was a guy in the New Testament. Let's take it forward a bit. Let's just take it to a place where perhaps we can relate to it. In the church context, in the context of our own lives, maybe even people that we know. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, this is Paul writing. Make every effort to come to me soon, talking to Timothy. For Demas has deserted me because he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. It's very difficult to know precisely what was going on in Demas's mind. It's not even easy to discover what does this mean, he loved the present world. But what I think it is this. Whatever the specifics, we don't know. Here is a guy that had been included with a man like Paul. One of the greatest foundation layers of truth in the history of the church. One of the greatest declarers of the gospel in the history of the church. The power of God came with him. Many remarkable things took place. Demas saw all that. But he had other priorities, whatever they were. He loved the present world. In other words, his mindset came from that place, not from the renewed place that is part of the gospel transformation. It came from that old place. So in the end, it showed itself. Maybe things were getting too tough. Maybe Paul had rattled him a bit and something he'd said or done. Who knows? But what is being exposed really is this. He's a self-determined man. He'd been with Paul, but he's not prepared to go the full way. That happens. The number of times it is disappointing that I have seen people who have walked a certain path. I've known them. Maybe I've cared for them. Maybe I've had input into their lives. Whatever it is, you might be the same. And then, usually it's this. They don't get what they want. That's usually it. The biggest reason, I think, why people, in general, they're going along, maybe they've had position in churches. The biggest reason why somehow off they go is, I really do think it's because they don't get what they want. It's not usually, not really, even about the doctrine. It might be to some extent, and sometimes it's proper to look at that and say, I can't go down that path. But really, the biggest single reason, they do not get what they want. What's that? Self-determination. That's all it is. It has never been resolved. It has never been faced. It has never been felt, dealt with. It has never been laid down. So off they go. And you can feel the disappointment in Paul here. He's deserted me. Of course he's disappointed. He's also disappointed for that man himself. Because he has chosen a path that will take him to be a restless wanderer. Of course he asked for Timothy to come, and in the end we know how Timothy was. He started off a little bit nervy, a bit timid, but he ended up as being counted amongst the apostles. See, there's the contrast. It is good for us to look at some of these biblical examples because they speak to us clearly. If we will open our eyes, if we will open our ears to see, they have a message for us that speaks to us now, and we must heed it. The last thing we want to be is those kind of people who are self-determined. See, once you put that away, then you lay open a different kind of future. And in that future is the fullness of the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God that comes and is a part of your daily walk. And then from that place, you can become a much more effective decision maker. You don't have to be watching your back all the time, for one thing. The choices that are available to those who walk in freedom, to those who have chosen the journey, are being more and more changed to be like Christ. The choices are at a different level, and they are far bigger in their scope than the self-determined person could ever imagine or think. And so if we want the fullness of the gospel, if we want the grace to come in our lives and empower us to be at those kind of people that God really would have us be, if that's where we come from, that is a good place to be. But if you are still in that place of self-determination, then I would say, you watch out. Because you are heading down a path of self-destruction. You are heading down a way that will make you be a restless wanderer. And you will never find peace in this life. And strip away all the pretense. It's not what somebody looks like. It's about the reality of what Christ has done within. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. True Foundations is headed by David J. Jones, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. His passion is to help individual Christians discover their true identity in Christ and to learn how grace operates in their lives. Currently residing in Canada, he is taught in both North America and the UK and has listeners all over the world. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at info@truefoundations.ca. Or for more information on True Foundations resources, please visit our website at truefoundations.ca.